jumped in. Someone asked me a question on the way in, and so I thought before we jumped into Revelation 20, are there some questions that you would like to ask? And I'll start in with the one that was asked me, because others of you may have a similar question. And that is, at the rapture of the church, what will happen to our bodies? At the rapture of the church, the next great event on God's calendar, what happens to our bodies? That was the question that was asked. I said, well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I show you a mystery, and that's verse 50. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And there, the word there for in a moment is, we get our word atom, in automo, in the twinkling of an eye. It's not the blink of an eye, it's a twinkling. It's how it's the amount of time it takes a light ray to get from the front of your eyeball to the back of your eyeball. That's a twinkle. And so that's going to be that quick. And what happens to our bodies? It's going to be changed. The mortal is going to put on immortality, and the corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And then it's going to be the shout, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. So the question is, what about the body? It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed. What's it going to be like? I have no idea. We go from ionic to cationic. But anyway, that's an ability not to decay. And so as to what it is, I have no idea. I don't even understand eternal. So how am I going to understand an eternal body? Because it's going to be like his glorified body. But the only reason that I think that we have his glorified body is when he was seen on earth, he became visible to the visible eye, to the human eye, because that's what we see. As to what Jesus looks like now, it's not like that. And so it's once you start talking about eternity, you're talking about something you don't know anything about. It's about like when we start talking about God. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and whatever you think about God, when we get to heaven, it probably is not going to be that. So, but we'll go from an earthly body, human, to a body that is made for eternity, whatever that is. So, but for some reason, there once again, I think that as far as, like the question was also, does just our soul and spirit, to me, that's what makes up us. It's our soul and spirit. And I think we'll have the same soul and spirit, except it's not going to be capable of sinning. And it's going to be perfected. And it's not going to have any imperfections in it. And whatever it takes to worship him forever and ever and ever, it's going to be given to us. So this thing right here is just for now. It's not going to be here for long. Some of us longer than others, but it's... So, is there another question before we jump into Revelation 20? Yes, Rick. The question is that how are people saved if the Holy Spirit is gone at the rapture? So what would you say? That which restrains or holds back the lawless one or the Antichrist is probably the Holy Spirit that's working in and through the church. Once the church is gone, then what do we have? Do we have an absence of the Holy Spirit? Well, they'd have to be martyred, but they have to die to be saved. How do you do that? Okay, that's how they're going to die. But the question that Rich has, which is a good one, is without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be saved, because according to Romans chapter 8, that it's the Holy Spirit that changes us. And if you've not received the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. So it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So how is a person saved? Chris? Okay. Okay. Saved. Yeah. So the difference then, you would say, of which I've come along about the same line, and that is that you're still going to be saved by a work of the Holy Spirit, or otherwise you're not going to be saved, period, because we're still dead in Christ. The other side of what makes us alive, it is the Holy Spirit. There has to be a work of the Holy Spirit, but the work of the Holy Spirit is going to be different than it is during the church age, whatever that is. I have no, only thing I know is that the Holy Spirit lives in people, on people, through people, and he does that during the church age. When it comes to the Holy Spirit being taken out, or the other side of it is that which restrains or stops lawlessness, probably is the work of the Holy Spirit. As to what extent the Holy Spirit works after the rapture, I don't fully know, because I know that right now part of the working of the Holy Spirit, that which restrains lawlessness, is the Spirit. You take the Spirit out of this world, find out what's going to happen then. And it's not going to be all heaven breaking loose either. Yes. Okay. He's what? God's always going to be here, but there's a world of difference. See, I don't even understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's three entities, but they're only one. See, I'm too ignorant. Used to, I thought, oh man, how's that happen? We have three gods. No, we have one God. How does that work? I don't know. Because I've come to the conclusion a long time ago, if I understood all that stuff, I'd have to be God. And he didn't let me in on all this. Only thing I know is it's true. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but the three are one. Sort of like a three-in-one oil, I guess. I have no idea. But it's the same way, too. It'll still be a work of the Holy Spirit, but as to whether it is going to be indwelling and as whether it's going to be an identification with what was called the church will be out of here. So there has to be something similar to what Chris said, the work of the Holy Spirit. Then perhaps he comes on individuals at special times in order to accomplish what he wants. I don't know. That's what he did in the Old Testament. And we had a theocratic kingdom at that time, which meant God control. Yes. Tribulation. That's what I said. As to whether he is, I said his function will be different. As to what it will be, I have no idea. You will not be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. Period. Why? Because we're dead in Christ. How are those dead? But now we've been made alive. What? Through the impartaking of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Has to be. Yeah. So see, you're talking to walking ignorance. It's okay to say I don't know how it's going to work. The only thing I know is and the reason that see the rapture of the church didn't even come into existence until 1858 by a fellow named Darby, and so now people want to know what happened for the first 1858 years. Well, they were walking in ignorance. No. But as to the only thing I know is that Jesus Christ is coming back. That's the only thing I know for sure. The other, I believe that there's going to be a rapture because of Revelation, or Romans chapter 11 says it talks about that which is a wild branch being engrafted in. Now, if it's easy for how much easier it will be to engraft once again the nation of Israel, because right now Israel is not the primary target, the church is. So the implication is the church is going to be removed, and all the blessings once again is going to be flowing through the nation of Israel. The other side of it is that the work of the Holy Spirit is, like I said, it's much like once you start talking about eternity, I don't think we know what we're talking about. Back to the thing as far as Darby in 1858 coming up with the rapture of the church. The reason is because it seems like, though, that, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, especially 13 to 18, it's the dead, when I quote to begin with, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. He says, I want you to comfort one another with these words. He said, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It seems as though there's a difference between meeting the Lord in the air, because there's been made a lot of that, and meeting the Lord in the air, and also when Jesus comes the second time, he comes to earth, and he doesn't meet us in the air. He comes to earth to set up his kingdom, and his kingdom is going to last for 1,000 years. Now, some people think that there, once again, since it took us so long for us to come up with the rapture of the church, it must not be correct. Well, it seems that if you look, it's called dispensations. At least you have an Old Testament and a New Testament. It seems like God does work in different ways at different times. And I am what is called a dispensationalist because, as to whether there's seven, I don't know. I know that there's at least he works in different ways at different times. Now, he also works with Israel, then he seems to work with the church. He doesn't seem to work with both at the same time. And so when you get to the tribulation period, he's working with the nation of Israel. So it's reasonable that they're once again. And the reason that for the rapture, it's not just because I want to miss the tribulation. I mean, that's not. If you live in China today and stand for Jesus, it's not going to be too cool. But we have to differentiate between the wrath of God and persecution, because persecution happens both from bad people. When you get to the tribulation, it's the wrath of God being poured out on mankind, and he says that there once again. His wrath is going to be set aside as far as for the church. So it's like, if I'm his bride, do you think he's going to let me go through this kind of stuff? It's pretty hard to fathom that he would pour out his wrath on his own people. Now, he utilizes different ones and different means to pour out his wrath, and that's how you get the Antichrist and those. So far we've had three questions, and I've only answered one, so that's not too bad. Watch what we have right now is ignorance on display, so go right ahead. Empowered. There once again was David, the Holy Spirit came upon David too in the Old Testament. And so you'll find that many times within the Old Testament, Elijah came upon him, Isaiah came upon him. In fact, it's Sunday morning, we're starting in chapter 40. Prophecy is one of those things that just blows me away as far as the inspiration of Scripture. Because Isaiah stopped prophesying in about 680. The 586 was when the final Babylonian captivity. He knows all about the future. He, from chapter 40 to 66, he talks about the Babylonian captivity, and he's not even there. I mean, but there's so many things that are parallel. And so there, once again, it goes back, like you said, with the two witnesses. The power of God came upon Isaiah, and He knew all about the future. He came on Jeremiah, came on Daniel, he came on Ezekiel for a special work. David, read the Psalms, and he came upon for a special work. So to me, they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but they're once again for the special work that God has called them to do. Does he indwell every believer as he does in the New Testament church? That would be a hard one to prove. My thing is that he comes on people there once again for a special work that God's called them to do, and as far as indwelling, as we call it. And also, he obviously, we are all baptized into one body by one Spirit. Well, that one body is now going to be gone. Dion from South Africa, what do they say? What do they say on in your part of the country? A little louder. Right.
And so I think where it says in about two witnesses it talks about power will be given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they'll be dwelled.
As we know today.
Yeah. We're
indwelled. Yeah. To me, that would be the differentiation. I made South Africa and America agree, so it must be all right. Yeah, but also you have a couple of preachers sharing their ignorance with a bunch of people because since we're not there, we don't know. And it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Someone else, another question. You tell me. Well, I know that's what he told us. That's chapter 20. I'm not going to answer a question that he tells you that the angel that has the keys is Apollyon. Come on. We can answer questions that are like that. No, I think that one of the things that we, my emphasis Sunday morning, and was there once again, death is a guarantee and life is a gift. I think that we look too much at death rather than every day as a gift. Every day. We look at when people have near-death experiences. You don't know, but all of you have had a near-death experience today. You just happen to be here. If your heart stops beating, you know why your heart beat? Because of an electric impulse. Tesla has nothing over on me. He can't even make a battery that's as good as a battery that keeps me going. Every time my heart beats, there's an electric impulse. That's an amazing thing. How's it happen? Don't tell me it's evolution, because they can't even make a battery that lasts this long, let alone as long as the older I get. And I'm not looking around. So it's, but it is an amazing thing. And so what God does is that I think there once again we have to look at the circumstances, the situations, the people. We have to look at all these things as being a gift that God has given to us. And I know people like Suzanne Ansel, she was, oh man, just waiting for the rapture. Let me tell you, I don't even think about it. I don't even think about the rapture. I just think about living the way God wants me to live today. And if I live the way he wants me to live today, then if he comes, then I'll be ready for him to come. And so I think that it's possible to be so heavenly minded, no earthly good, and that is that you sit around saying, oh no, who's going to be elected? I don't know why anybody would vote for a bald-headed guy in a hoodie, but let me tell you, he's liable to be your next senator. I'm just telling you, I don't always get all that stuff, but I'm not going to sit around and fuss about it because there once again, God is in control, and if he knows in Isaiah 120 years ahead of time what's going to happen, he knows what's going to happen in our future. Yes.
I think
What are you going to say about some guy in a hoodie with bald head? You're from South Africa. You can say whatever you want. Okay, go. Okay. Well, that's the way it was with Hezekiah. First thing he said, you're going to die, so get your house in order. Well, I'm going to die too, so whatever you're going to do, you better do it. I mean, if you're going to share your faith, if you're going to, however you're wired up, you'll find that all of us have a different assignments. And so whatever assignment God has given to you, just do it. But the purpose of revelation is never get you to the place of fear, because you have to realize that when you have the New Testament, it was written in one of the worst times the world has ever seen. And Demetrius exiled, Demetrius, by the way, was the emperor that exiled John to the Isle of Patmos in 95 A.D. You never hear a thing about it. Romans, and you had Nero, and he was throwing Christians to the lion. Never hear a thing about the Roman government in a negative light. Every place you see it is a challenge to the Christian to be what God wants them to be and let the government take care of whatever's going to happen. Because obviously, democracy is not the only place that Christianity can thrive. Interesting thing that happened when they closed the door to China, it was estimated that they had 1 million Christians in China. When they opened the door back up to China as far as the rest of the world, they're estimating now by the year 2050 there may be as many as 250 million Christians in China. And it's been illegal all this time. The fact is they'll persecute you all this time. And it is probably one of the countries in which you have the fastest growing church in the world, China. And it's illegal. You say, oh no, what's going to happen here? God's got it taken care of. If I am to be what God wants me to be, then he can take whatever environment, whatever government, whatever situation, and use it for his honor and glory. Laverne Wall, it's Zimbabwe. I mean, you have to be nutter than a fruitcake to want to go back there. And Laverne's just a couple of French fries short of a happy meal to be there. But she loves the place. Interesting thing. They had Mugafi. And he was ornery. I mean, he was terrible. You couldn't even move from one country to the next, and you had to smuggle everything. Well, now they got this guy who was his assistant became the president of Zimbabwe, but he's become a believer. And as a believer, now all of a sudden, the door's open. And so there's not persecution. They encourage Christianity more than before. They're still as poor as could be, no food or anything else. But we're going to, as a Christmas project, Laverne Wall is going to be one of them. And we've got four, and we're going to bring those up. But what she does, she brings in food, and it's like this, starts churches, gets pastors, has schools. And so in the midst of all of this, she just, let me tell you what they did in Zimbabwe? They took everything. What's that guy's name? Mugabe, huh? Mugabe. Yeah. It might be your uncle, but he's not mine. But true though, when it was like that though, she was still bringing food in and out. She was smuggling Bibles in and out. I mean, it was something else. And so I think one of the things that we do within the church, I will vote. So like I said, if you like everything that's happening within America right now, go ahead and vote Democrat. I'm just telling you, if you love it, vote that way. That's my bottom line. If you don't, you only have one other choice. So, and if you don't like either one of them, just don't vote. But it's, but what I think that happens though, I only know, and that's what my wife said, you don't know whether America is under the judgment of God or not. Because when you look at how much we've left God out over the last 50 years, when you had the opportunity, I have no idea. One of the things I do notice as I read Romans and Ephesians and Galatians and as I read the prison epistles with Paul, he's always encouraging Christians to be what God wants them to be. I don't find anybody saying assassinate somebody and get him out of there so we can have our people. America is not a theocratic kingdom. Israel was a theocratic kingdom, and God set up the kings. In America, I find that there's too many, even within the evangelical church, for some reason thinks that some political party, like the Republicans or whatever, are God's hand. Part of the mess we're in right now is because of the big R word. So don't, you have to take the, I was going to say the fruit with the nuts, but then I didn't know which one you're going to apply it to. So, but I think there again, don't tell me it's just the Democrats that got us in such a financial mess we didn't know what we're doing. There's somebody else got me $31 trillion in the hole, and somebody other than just the Democrats kept printing money and printing money and printing money and printing money. And so how does that, all that devaluates your dollar, whatever you do. But I think there again, God wants me to, he's going to attack the home. And if you are married, he's going to beat the fire out of your marriage. Because now we do have those that are more pro-family than others. The other side of it is the idea of abortion. One of the things that I am, I'm pro-life. And yet I say very little about it because within a church of 400 or 500 people on Sunday morning, you'll have so many people within that congregation that either they themselves or someone else has had an abortion. And the only thing you need to do is just keep bringing it up. It's murder, it's murder, it's murder. Come on. Thank God for his mercy and grace, and we didn't all take a stupid pill at the same time. Because the other side of it is you never want anybody to get to the place that they have sinned a sin and cannot either be forgiven or get up and go on. The other side of it is that one of the things that I think is missing, if people do believe abortion, well, at what month do we stop? Because the one party goes clear up to birth. Oh, so you mean 7, 8, or 9 months to kill a baby? Oh, no, not that far. Well, that's what we're saying. And so I think that there, once again, when does life begin? And a study of, really, 5,071 biologists came up with 92% of them said that life begins at conception. So I'll just take their word for it, and I think life begins at conception. The other side of it, though, is that within any moral situation or any situation, don't get too upset when lost people act like lost people. It's like with homosexual marriage. If they come over there with me, it'd be worse than me making a cake. They probably would, I'd say, Pastor Murray won't even marry him. Yep, that's right. He won't. But lost people act like lost people. The Bible wasn't written for people that don't know Jesus Christ. And so if you start out with abortion and you start out with homosexuality and LGBTQ and then try to lead them to Christ, you've turned them off. They have a bigger problem than that. It's called sin, S-I-N. And until I get the sin problem straightened out, all these other things don't make any sense at all. When you come to know Jesus Christ, then it's, oh, wow, he is the author of life. Oh, he did make man and woman. And oh, there are only two sexes or two genders. You have two X chromosomes, you're a female. If you have an XY, you're a male. That's the only two I can come up with. But don't start that way if you're going to talk to people without Christ. Because what's happening right now is that everyone is jumping up and down with the evangelical because of what the Bible says about this or that. The Bible wasn't written for the people who are lost. It's written for people that know Christ. And I think there again, the biggest problem that mankind has is sin. And Jesus died on the cross for sin. And until he takes care of the sin question, all these other things don't matter much. But it's an amazing thing that happens. When you come to know Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the Bible becomes the Word of God. I never thought there's so many stupid people in my life before I came to know Christ. Christians, I thought they were just a bunch of ignoramuses. I thought, you're telling me that somebody died 2,000 years ago, takes care of my sin today, and this one is going to now send his Holy Spirit to live within me. And he's given me a book called The Bible that was written over a period of 1,500 years by 39 different authors. And you want me to tell me that it's one book with one author and and it's all inspired by God. Did you ever hear anything so crazy? It's crazy. And then they want me to believe it. Then I came to know Christ. Whoa, it's all true. Wow, I can't put this book down. This thing's amazing. And as I try to live it, something happens in my life. I'm different. So you'll find there once again that Paul went to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. The people you meet this next week, you may just be opening your eyes. That may be as far as you go. And I think there's a lot of times we try to talk to people whose eyes have not been opened. And if so, they're going to think that you're nuttier than a fruitcake. But if the Holy Spirit is working on that person, next thing will happen, they'll say, huh, I wonder if. And then they'll say to turn them from darkness to light. And then from the power of Satan to the power of God. But I find that there's usually a process that goes on. So usually the first time people hear it, they, unless, like my friend Anya, she was my interpreter. First time she heard the gospel, she thought that Christianity, she thought that Jesus was a myth and Christianity was not even a valid religion. And she definitely thought the Bible was just a made by man. And on her way home from Campus Crusade, she read something called the Four Spiritual Laws. God loves you and has a wonderful plan. But anyway, man's sinful and separated from God, so he can't know this love and this plan. But he died on the cross, and if you'll receive him, then you can know his wonderful plan he has for your life, Four Spiritual Laws. She read it, prayed the prayer on the way home, and her life changed. I said, that's amazing. I said, you thought that, yeah, she says, I was an atheist. I didn't believe there was a God. I thought that Jesus was a myth. And I said, that's really something. You heard the gospel one time and you received. She said, yeah. She said, you Americans underestimate the power of the gospel. And I think that we do. I think we underestimate the tremendous power that God loves you, Christ died for you, and if you'll receive him, he'll change your life. And that's our message. And I think that once again, in the world that is so shaken up, they need something more than a Republican senator, although that wouldn't hurt. But they need something more than... It's really funny, when I came here to Pennsville, I made a joke one Sunday morning and nobody laughed because I found out that it was about 60-40. Now I get about 10 to 15 that sort of... They go along when he just told something supposed to be funny. And I got up and I said, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they didn't even know a Democrat could be a Christian. And it was like, then I found out that there's about 60% Democrat in Bullskin County and 40% Republicans. And I thought, oh, yeah. I went to a church called Fight Memorial, and I said, do you live up to your name? And I found out that no preacher had been there for very long. And I wasn't going to be at that rate. But it was named after Anna Fight, so sometimes my humor gets the best of me. Any more questions before we get to Revelation 20? We'll go to verses 1 to 3. See, my question is, first of all, how does Satan start? We know, we're going to find that, we know he's here. How did he start? If I take off on that rabbit trail, we'll have fun. how did he start? How did Satan start? What was that? What was the situation? Yes. No. Not the power of suggestion. How did Satan start? Where did he start to begin with? What was it? What was the situation? He challenged God. What did he say? He said, but who? What was he? He was an angel. He was an angel. And Lucifer. And he was the, star of the morning. So anyway, he made himself as God, like God, and he says, and he asked a bunch of questions. But the main thing that he did is that he rose up against God, and one-third of the angels fell. And so he who was an angel took one-third of the angels with him. So the angels today, once again, that you have a good bunch and you have a bad bunch. And so that's how he got started. I'll ask you now, why did God even let him get started?
Freedom of choice.
With Adam and Eve. When did Satan fall? See, this is a matter of, this is a Murrayism that's probably right on. But, Before Adam and Eve. So he had to fall before Adam and Eve. He couldn't fall after Adam and Eve, could he?
Maybe after Adam, but before Eve.
No, what he did is he just brought Eve into the world, and he knew that that'd be enough trouble for Adam. There's a reason he had a scar on his side. It's been a pain in the neck ever since. But it's with some women. I'm not saying all. See, so now those of you that are listening on this streaming thing, I didn't say all this. It's that missionary from South Africa that just got me in trouble. No, what you'll find is that God looked at all of his creation and says it's good. It's going to be pretty hard for God to look and say everything is good. So to me, God fell sometime between after all of his creation and the temptation of Eve. Because when he said, and he says he made this and this and it was good. He made this and this and it was good. He made this and this and it was good. And he made Adam and Eve, it was good. Everything that he had made was good. If everything that he had made it was good, and Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, was one of the things he had made, he would have had to have fallen after after those first 7 days. Is there a difference between heaven? I don't know, Frank. Is there a difference between heaven and earth? Are you trying to ask me a trick question? Are you sure?
Yes.
That he did what? I know, but I couldn't repeat it. I went over my head. He could have created angels before he created earth. In fact, he did. He said that's what he said. I don't know if he created angels before he created earth, but someplace along the line, he did create angels, and then you'll find that that Lucifer comes before God, and he begins to challenge God. He sure is in Job. No, it's in what? We had that to begin with. Ezekiel, isn't it? No. He was already around when he tested Job. So we just about took off on a rabbit trail on that one. Okay, Chris, where do you find the, what book do you find Lucifer falling? Yep, his pride. He rose up before God. Right. That's right. And from then on, there once again. Okay, so there once again, once he made Adam and Eve, like you said, I think that he probably fell after that. And so as to how long Adam and Eve was in the garden before Satan showed up, I don't know. Before the serpent showed up, I don't know. But I know one thing. If he had not fallen, mankind would never have had a choice. I choose or choose otherwise. I know that they could choose or choose otherwise. Initially, they had never sinned. Before that, they had an ability not to sin. With me, I don't have an ability but to sin. I came in, for as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And so by the time you get to chapter 3 and man falls, from then on, you're going to find that you don't even really have to do too much till you get to Genesis chapter 6, because the whole world is corrupt, and there's only Noah and six people, and it's like and his wife and his son, and he had three sons and their wives, and eight people. That's it. And as to how many millions that may have been on the earth at that time, we don't know. Some of these landing strips that they're finding now by spaceships, maybe the Earth was a whole lot more advanced than we think prior to the fall or to the flood. Not the fall, the flood. So now that's where he started. Now, if we could have testimonies, how has he affected your life? We would have testimonies all over the place as to what Satan, even this last week, has tried to get you to do through that power of suggestion. That's the only thing he said. Just go ahead and tell your wife that Pastor Murray gave you $50. I mean, she didn't even do that. But anyway, that's another story. But it's only a joke between me and some other person, so it didn't go very far. But it doesn't take very much. It doesn't take very much until. And so, just as with Jesus, he even tempted Jesus in the garden. Now, the other side of it is that he could tempt him, but it's impossible since God cannot be tempted. Why? Because there's no sin within him. Nothing within Jesus Christ knew exactly what the temptation felt like, but Jesus Christ could not have fallen to that temptation for the simple reason he was God. You and I have a sinful nature that is just sucking right towards anything that is sinful. Now, how are we going to get rid of all this? Because we've had the rapture of the church, we've had tribulation period, Jesus Christ has come back at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. Now we've had setting up for 1,000 years. My question is, what do you do with Satan? What do you do with him? Well, chapter 20 is going to tell me what we're going to do with Satan. Verses 1, 2, and 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil, and also called Satan. And he bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into a bottomless pit. Oh, my goodness. And he shut him up. He set a seal upon him, which means he couldn't get out, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a season. Now, if I get that rascal in a pit, I'm going to leave him there. So, let's take a look. Notice the angel. An angel opened to heaven, acting with the authority of the throne. Notice his having the key to the abyss, a bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is a dark dungeon where spirit beings are being imprisoned. We don't know its location. There's a great chain in his hand. Satan is a spirit, but the symbol is plain. Obviously, you cannot put a chain upon a spirit and hold him anywhere. Satan is bound. Being bound is the reality. The symbol is a chain. Only that which is greater can subdue the lesser. God is greater. So Satan's demise, notice the aggression. He laid hold upon him, the angel. The adversary, verse 2, the second part. There's no doubt as to who he is. Dragon, the embodiment of cruelty. Serpent, personification of guile, deceit, and lies. Devil, the archenemy of mankind, Satan, the opponent of Christ and all of his people. Here is the source of evil, of wickedness, of heartbreak, and heartache. Now, notice what he does. He did this to the nations. We fail to realize what demonic activity is taking place now on planet Earth among the nations. We've only seen a little bit of what lawlessness looks like when there is no authority. With the Black Lives Matter, with people, I saw an old lady. Well, a lady, old is relative. I'm not getting into that because Alan has to go home tonight. And he has to talk his wife into coming back to church next week because she was insulted. He just said, honey, he didn't mean you. Okay. But there was some lady that there were five or six teens pushing this lady off of the subway. I mean, off of the door open. She was hanging on to keep. I thought, how do they do that? I saw somebody rob some old man. I think he was 72. And in broad daylight, and you're thinking, how is this? When I was growing up, this sounds crazy. I would stay out till dark. My mom never wondered where I was at. I ran away once, and they didn't even miss me. No, it was funny. First time I ran away, I think I was 4 or 5 years of age. And I stuck my pajamas in my wagon, and I took off, and I was going to Grandma's. Well, Grandma's was 20 miles away. I couldn't cross the street, so I went around the block 2 or 3 times. And they took a picture. Who in the world, when you're 5 years old, thinks about running away? Me. I was ticked. I don't know what ticked me off. I was just leaving. I was going to Grandma's house because I knew what was going on there. But parents never thought about kids being kidnapped or molested. I mean, it was the rarity. It wasn't the norm. But you hear it all the time. This thing, we got something going on in America right now called white slavery. The number of people that are coming across this border that they say between 2/3 and 3/4 of all the ladies there have been molested. You're thinking, what? I mean, is it just evil rampant? That's what he said. He says, take a look at all the names for Satan here. And he says he made use of the nations. We wonder what's wrong with America. But you realize if you go, ask Phil, he just got, Finland is a different story. And that he's been to Helsinki. He's been to, where else? France. You could be LGBTQ there and not even know it. I'm just saying, you can be whatever you want. But no matter where you go in the world, there's evil. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what form of government. It doesn't matter what anything else. But we very seldom, even within the church, wonder if we are not in a satanic attack like never before because the coming of Christ is so close. I mean, it is hard for families to stay together, husband and wife. It is tough. It is tough for you to raise kids with values. I feel sorry for people that are teachers within the public school system. I really do, especially those that are trying to go with wokeness, with critical race theory, with teaching kids that are 6 to 8 years of age about LGBTQ stuff. Do you realize that an 8-year-old is dumb? I've seen some pretty smart 8-year-olds, but they don't know very much. They have and so now we're saying, well, I feel like I'm a dog. Well, go ahead and bark, Jack. Yes, I know it's in Connellsville. Yeah. Yeah. No, my granddaughter was in Indiana, and Indiana is one of the more conservative states. Her sister was telling her what to wear, because if you wear loose pants like this, then you're a butch. If you wear a loose top, they'll think that you're part of the LGBTQ, and you may be desiring for male companionship, even though you're a girl. Think you're a girl. You have to wear tight pants and tight top in order for them to not think that. And so here her older sister, who's going to be a senior, is telling the kid that's in the seventh grade how to dress so that they won't think that she's either gay or that she's lesbian or that she's homosexual or she's LGBTQ. Also, I made a comment the other night in our heel meeting that some kids think they're dogs and they're actually peeing on the floor. I say, well, if it was me, I'd say that'd be the first dog I ever saw with a mop in his hand. But it's like, well, you poor kid. You're not a kid. I think one of them was Leo one day and is Leona or Linda the next day. And you're thinking, what? Keep up with my foot. I can't eat. I address. I'd say bring your dog tag tomorrow. If you don't have one, I'll tell you, we're taking you to the pound. Well, yes, Charlie. Well, I think what we have too, though, I think that one of the things we had last week was when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and rejecting the truth, they accepted a lie. And I think that once that the primary thing is that Satan was, let's leave God out. You'll notice that people don't want to. I was watching this person that was giving, he gives praise to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the things he had accomplished as an athlete. As soon as he said Jesus, he said, we've lost the connection. I mean, but I think there again, I think that one of the things we need to see is greater is he that's in you, little children, than he that's in the world. But I do think we need to realize that we are in a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle, and probably it needed to come forefront so that we need to realize not only pray for our kids, but also pray with each other. But notice here in verse 3, the first part, there are five verbs in the aorist tense. It's as sure as if it's already taken place. He seized, he bound, he cast, the pit is closed, the pit is sealed. In other words, it's an act that is already considered done. In other words, he may be running loose today, but he is seized and the pit is sealed. It would be of little use, need needle net, if the followers were left to pursue their evil ways. Satan and his host are confined, and the personal chain would be kept on him apart in the abyss. The assessment that he should deceive the nations no more. Satan is a deceiver, he's a liar, he sells the false for the true and the good for the best. Satan will lead you astray. And that's what because that's what he does. And I think that there's, and finally in verse 3, he's bound for 1,000 years. Like I said, I would leave him bound, but then he's released. Interesting thing that happens in verse 7, 8, and 9, I'll look at that one in just a bit. But why not just leave him bound? For the same reason he allowed Satan to begin with. And that is that there will be no puppets in serving this Jesus Christ or this living God. And so what he has, you have to choose. Now, you're going to find in verses 7, 8, 9, Satan is loosed. After that 1,000 years, he is loosed. If I have the rascal bound, I'm not going to let him go. But he draws a number that the sands of the sea could not number from the north, south, east, and west. Here's why I say, parents, I'm responsible to my kids. I can't be responsible for them. Jesus Christ has been ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. Everything is perfect. Everything is ideal. They still choose otherwise. I can do everything I possibly can with my kids. My kids will have to make their own choices. I can expose them to Jesus Christ. I can expose them to those things. They have to choose. And so that's why I think it's so important there once again. That's why I like children's programs. That's why I like any type of things like upward basketball. I like anything that involves kids, because eventually they have to choose. And so that's one of the things I told a person not long ago. I said, if you don't give them a choice, I know what they'll take. I know which direction they'll go. And it's the toughest thing is there, once again, when you have children that are being brainwashed, and they really need parents. See, the interesting thing is that they said, well, you can't teach anything up till the third grade in Florida. Third grade? I mean, why not sixth grade? Why not let somebody else get the values? But notice it in verse 7, 8, 9, the release of Satan. Have to turn a page over. And when the 1,000 years ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together them to battle, the number of whom the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints, the beloved city, and fire came down out of heaven and devoured them all. The plan. When 1,000 years is ended, Satan is loose. During the millennial kingdom, there's no sickness, there's no death from natural causes. There's a population explosion. I said today there's 7.2 billion, but there's about 7.8 or 9 billion. So we're moving quickly. Two-thirds of three-fourths of the world will be destroyed during the seven-year tribulation. Children born under these ideal conditions have a fallen nature, and they need to be born again. Each must choose as today. Just because you are born into a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. God doesn't want spiritual puppets. The path, there's two actions, north, south, east, and west. And you find that it's he has a whole lot of people that he's drawn from. Why loose Satan? Under ideal conditions, they see no need for salvation. It's enough to be good, or it's enough to be religious. God wants those who want him. They must choose, and you must choose. Then drawing. Satan is rallying men and women against God, the numbers of whom is as the sands of the sea. Under ideal conditions, many still reject Jesus Christ. We're fighting against God. Each individual must choose. The purpose, verse 7 and 8, are all future tense. Verse 9 is an aorist tense. It's as though it has already taken place. Prophecy is history to God. Their direction, notice in verse 9, their direction, and they went up in breadth of the camp, compassed the camp, saints about, the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them all. Their direction, their desires to destroy God's people. They surround the city. And then their destruction. Fire came down from heaven and devoured them all. They have chosen to follow Satan is the way of death. Retribution, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Who are the first two people that's going to be in hell? Beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The place, the lake of fire and brimstone, where there is no annihilation. The pain, they shall be in torment day and night, ceaselessly, endlessly, period, forever and ever. Heaven was not, needs a T on that, made for man, but for the devil, means angels. Mankind chooses to go to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. So it's one of those reminders. Every person you meet next week is going to spend an eternity somewhere. And what we need to see is there again. I have that which can change lives. So how do I know when to share people the gospel with somebody? He said the Spirit of Christ came to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Watch those times when they talk about sin that's in their life and how it's destroying them or eating them up. Watch those times in which they say, man, I'm afraid of eternity. That's judgment. Righteousness, I mean, they've been living a lousy life for 20 years and says, man, that's just not right. I got to change. I got to do something different. Watch it when people begin to talk about sin, about righteousness, about judgment, because where'd you get that thought? And there's a lot of times that you'll find that there are times in which it's good to share your faith. It's times where you need to back off and say, if you need anything, let me know. The other thing that I found that is really helpful is, do you mind if I pray for you? And if there's one thing you want me to pray for, what would it be? And ask them, what do you want me to pray for? And I think there's a lot, because even people that are lost and don't even think about God, they have a kid that's on drugs. They're about to lose their job. Their marriage is falling apart. There's a lot of things that they say. Then just pray for them. And the other thing is, if I can do anything to help you, let me know. And also, too, whenever my mom and dad were the first believers in our family, and eventually all but a couple have came to know Christ. But boy, to begin with, it was tough. I mean, like my dad said, he said, I think that all my aunts and probably my great aunts were all prostitutes. And I was the first believer that was in my family. And don't expect them to grab a hold and say, oh, man, that's fantastic. No, they said, you're crazy. And it took a while. The other thing that they're going to do is watch your life. They'll watch your life. They see what you've got. And finally, if that was one of those things that I saw, I didn't want to be like my four cousins. I didn't want to go that direction. I wanted to go the Jesus way, but my mom and dad told me this: if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you'd be living in a divorced home right now. If there's any good thing within our life, it's because of Christ. I may not have understood the gospel. I may not have understood Jesus Christ. I may have rejected the Bible. I may have rejected everything about Christianity. But I couldn't get over my mom and dad tried to live it. Did it do it perfectly? Nope. But that's the other thing I noticed with kids. They know when you're not living like a Christian, talking like a Christian, or acting like a Christian. So just tell them. You know what I just said back there? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted that way. Would you please forgive me? I sure lost my patience. I'm sorry. They already know when you're acting like a jerk. Just let them know. And then you say, I'll ask you to do something. I'll pray for you, and you pray for me. And so pray for them. Because I think one of the biggest things that people do, see, it's like Herschel Walker. I just said, yeah, I signed a check for $700. I have no idea where it went, but I hear that it went towards an abortion. At that time, I thought it was right. I don't think that way anymore. Why? Because I know Jesus Christ, and my life's changed. Don't try to undo, don't try to ignore and make excuses for what you've done. Just admit it. It wasn't right. I could have done it differently. I should have done it differently. But I didn't. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for his mercy and his grace. He doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me something better. And he's awfully patient with me. Our Father, I thank you so very much You accept us as we are, but you don't leave us as we are. I would ask you, Lord Jesus, that we could allow us to be patient with people that don't get it. Allow us to be patient with people that want to hurt us. Allow us to be patient with people that even want to reject Jesus Christ because they don't understand. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And so often the people around us have no idea what they're doing, but they do need you in Jesus' name.